Christian greetings to each of you this morning. Again, it's a blessing to be in the house of God and worshiping together and being inspired around His Word. I certainly enjoyed this service, enjoyed the Sunday school hour very much and the discussion that we had. I was reminded again that we don't always understand everything about God's Word and God's ways. But I'm thankful this morning that we know that God is a sovereign God and an unchanging God, one who has promised that He doesn't change. And right with that promise is the promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can claim those promises this morning, and I'm again so thankful for that. For a message, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to maybe somewhat continue some of the discussion that we had, and yet I'd like to look on the flip side of it this morning. And I'd like to think about, I've given the title to the message, Rewards of Laboring with God. Instead of laboring against God like Pharaoh and like our Sunday school discussion was this morning, I'd like to think about what it is, what it's like to be a Christian this morning and find ourselves in the will of God and excited about God's program and working with God and being an instrument, as it were, or a person, or however you want to say it, that God can use, that God can work through and help build His church and do the work that God is trying to do on earth. What a blessing to be men and women who God chooses to use. An almighty God, a sovereign God who answers to no one, and we think about the attributes of God, a God that's all-powerful, a God that can do everything Himself, a God that doesn't answer to anybody. He has all wisdom and all knowledge and all understanding, and He really doesn't need you and I. And yet He turns around and He looks at us and He says, you know, if you help me in your program, if you help me in my program, I should say, if you help me build church, if you help me in this work, there are rewards that go along with this. Too many times we lose sight of that and we get caught up in, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. The focus of the message this morning, the text verse that I really like to focus on, is in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, where he says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And I'd like to think about some of the rewards that are there for people who built on the foundation that he's talking about. But going back to what I started saying, is too many times we get caught up in the first few verses of this, just like the people in the Corinth church did. And the reason we get caught up in this is because we have this old nature that we are still fighting against that is contrary to the nature of God. You see, God Himself says, my thoughts, my ways, they're not your thoughts, they're not your ways. I'm so much higher than you. I think so differently than you do. And we get caught up in just like the Apostle Paul rebuked the Christians or the church here at Corinth, and he said, you're carnal. We get caught up in carnality is what we do too many times. Well, let's read. I'd like to read the first 14 verses here, 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And remember, Paul is speaking to the Corinth church here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we labor together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved by fire. We'll see his reading there. Just a few things in the introduction that I want you to take notice to. Paul was reprimanding in the first four verses, he was reprimanding the people in this setting here at the church at Corinth, because he said that they're still letting the old nature help them to decide, help them make decisions in life. And he said, the reason that I can tell is because there's envy, there's strife, there's divisions. There's those things which are a sign that your carnal nature is in control of your choices. And he said, because of that, he said, you're arguing who I am and who Apollos is. And apparently they were taking sides. They were following their favorite preacher, as it were, I guess, is what was happening. And they were split into various cliques. And Paul was saying, you know, really, you're carnal in doing this. Because who am I? I'm just a man that God chose to use in my day and in my time. And yes, I've shared what God wanted me to share, but it's not anything that I have done. It's not anything that I could do. It's not my work. And the same with Apollos. He watered. I planted and Apollos watered, or was it the other way around? I'm not sure, but we labored together and we done what God wanted, but it's not our work and it's not our program and it's not because of us. It's because of what God is. Notice several times. Verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. Verse 7, he says again, so neither is he that planteth anything nor he that watereth. Apollos doesn't amount to a whole lot is what he's saying. And I don't amount a whole lot. It's God that giveth the increase. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, and this is what he was trying to tell them. He said, you need to get over your carnality and your ideas about church life. And you need to realize that we're all together laboring for the same cause, the same purpose. In verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. This morning, dear ones, we need to see ourselves as laboring with God in God's program. Not man's work, it's God's work. And when we can do that, when we start getting that in our minds and we get that picture before us, then the idea of who's doing what fades into the background. You see, that's what God wants every one of us to do. He wants us all to fade in the background, and he wants us all to hold the cross of Jesus Christ out front, in the forefront, as it were, and tell the world around us, here's the answer. It's Jesus Christ. He can save your life. He can bring salvation to you. And until we do that, we're going to have a lot of disappointments. If we somehow think that we're going to have to do the work, it won't happen. We as ministers get up front and we try to do our best in explaining and making points and all those kind of things. And you know what? Unless God blesses the work and unless God does the work, it's all It's all not, as it were. God must bless the work. You see, it's not any different than it is for any one of us in the responsibilities you have. Maybe you're here as a father this morning, and you have a family, and you're trying to raise a family. And you feel so inadequate at times as a father. You hardly know how to answer your children. You hardly know what to say. And yet, you do the best you can, and you give the admonition you can, and you give the guidance that you can. But you know what? Unless God picks up that work and he works in the hearts of your children and he calls your children, which he has promised he will, and he does the work, there's only so much we can do. God needs to bless the work. I don't know what scenario to make in the sister's sight, but you get the point this morning. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the church here at Corinth. Get your mind off the envying and strife and picking at each other and get involved in God's program is what he was saying. And get fired up for what God wants you to get fired up about in life instead of your own agenda and your own desires and your own ideas about church life. You see, you can run from one church to another, which many people have done that. You can go here and you can go there and you can start following this man's program and that man's program, and this is so much better here. And you know, unless it's all hooked together with God, it's all useless. It's all that's just the long and the short of it is what Paul was saying down through these verses. And so it's God who deserves any credit. You see, this morning, dear friends, true religion makes men peaceable and not contentious. It's the opposite of what he's describing here. When God works in the heart and God really gets our heart and God gets our will and God gets a hold of us, then we work together and we pull together in peaceable ways and not contentious ways. Verse 10 brings another thought out to me that I want you to notice. I already alluded to this, but he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. It brings us to the thought that it is being engaged in God's business. It's not our business. We need to take heed how we build. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He has begun the work. He has put salvation in place. And he wants us to build on that cornerstone, on that foundation, and promote the program of Jesus Christ. You see, it's life and the rewards of laboring together with God are being engaged in his business. We must be engaged in his business. Also, I want you to notice in verse 13 that God rewards in proportion to the diligence and faithfulness of his people, I believe. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It's going to be revealed by fire, and we can build with different kinds of products, he says. But there's going to be a different reward system for the differences as well. God rewards in proportion to the faithfulness and to the diligence and to the work that his servants have put into it, I believe. Verse 14 brings out then too that there are rewards for the faithful. Well, that's just an introduction to where I'd like to go this morning. I'd like to look at the rewards to the faithful is the body of this message this morning. The Bible mentions at least five possible rewards that I'd like to look at this morning. And we're going to look at a few various different scriptures to do that. First of all, the Bible talks about an incorruptible crown. They're all in the forms of crown. There's five of them I'd like to look at. An incorruptible crown. We find this in chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 25. Maybe we'll just back up to verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is simply saying in these verses here that this incorruptible crown is given to those who master the old nature, who get control of the old nature, in other words. We have this old nature to deal with. And he says that in verse 25, that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, has the idea of getting a hold of this carnal nature that we have, this Adamic nature that we have, and bringing it into subjection with the nature of Christ. And that's what needs to happen, first of all, for us to, that's who this incorruptible crown is going to be given to, he says. Romans 8 and verse 13, and you don't have to turn there, but it simply says this, it helps us understand this thought a little more. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In other words, the nature needs to be altered, first of all. There needs to be new desires, a new... Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You see, that process is what needs to start happening. And that's how we master this begin. It's as God works and God calls and we realize that we're sinners and yeah, it's all that. But when that starts happening, and I like to say this morning that this thing of mastering our old nature is a lifelong work. It's something that we are always working with because of numerous things. We have the old nature that just wants to rise up. The devil knows it. The devil brings temptation. And we fight. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, we need to be temperate. I therefore run, not as uncertain. I know what God wants me to be, and I know what God's principles are, and I know who God wants me to be, and I have it figured out. It's not as though I don't know where I'm going, is what Paul was saying. But I put my energies into achieving that, fighting against my carnality, fighting against the temptation, not as one that's beating the air and there's no results out of it, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And of course, Paul realized he was a minister. He was one who God had called into a special work. And Paul realized his own accountability, his own responsibility. I need to be one who by my life, not only by what I say, but also by my life, show others that I have myself under control, that I am tempered, that I am working with my old nature, lest I should be a castaway. One of the important aspects this morning about the Christian life is that our nature has been altered to want to live above sin. It's not the most important one, maybe, but it's an important one. One of the important aspects is that you and I find ourselves with a heart and a desire to want to do right, to want to do the best we can to follow the principles of God's word. You see, that doesn't mean this morning that there's not going to be failure sometimes, that we're not going to fall. But when we fall, we pick ourselves up again because we have that desire to want, the want to do better, the want to attain, the want to be complete victorious in our Christian life, whatever our struggle is. No, it's a lifelong thing, and we will fail. Satan will trip us up at times. But it's like I told you many times, like I've said many, many, many times already, that the shameful thing about sin is not so much as falling into sin. The shameful thing about sin is not repenting and rising up and coming out of it again. And let's have a heart of love and compassion for each other, because brethren and sisters, we're all human. We all have the Adamic nature, and we all need to strive for this incorruptible crown. But when we can be victorious, and when we're striving, and when we're being faithful, and when we're living our lives in a way that others can see that we want to, and that God can see that we want to, there is the reward of an incorruptible crown promised for us. The second crown that I see, the second reward that I see, there's numerous verses that we could turn to, but it's a crown of rejoicing. The Bible talks about a crown of rejoicing, and this crown is given to people who are victorious in their Christian life and people who are out helping others be victorious in their Christian life. In other words, it's given to people who are in God's program with God, helping to save people, soul winners, reaching out. And, well, Proverbs 11 and verse 30 talks about this. It says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I like that verse. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. In other words, when we have this heart to want to do right, and we start living a life and we make choices, the opposite of what Pharaoh was making choices, we make our choices for God. There's this righteousness that God looks at, then it works. And I like what the scenario Brother Darwin brought out. He brought out the opposite side of that in the Sunday school lesson this morning, which is so true, I think. Because when we start making proper choices and we choose God, it builds on that too. And joy is built upon joy, and we rejoice upon rejoicing. And we get on that bandwagon, as it were, in life. And life looks so different. Instead of being discouraged and looking down and thinking life is so tough, we rejoice in the good things that we have. And we certainly have so many things going for us. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. I'd like to read a few verses from Daniel. The book of Daniel is the first number of chapters in the book of Daniel are easy to understand, and I enjoy reading through them. And then we have a number of chapters in Daniel that I'll admit I struggle understanding them. They're hard to understand, and various different people have different theology about all that. But in chapter 12, again, he just says a few things that are just very easy to understand again, and very straightforward, as it were. He talks in the end of time, when there's going to be a time of great trouble. Daniel chapter 12, and in verse 1 he says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." In verse 2 he says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And then verse 3 is what I want. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." You see, we're talking about this crown of rejoicing. Daniel brings it out so plain here. They that be wise, those that have lived a life above reproach themselves, and those that have lived a life where they have reached out and brought others in, brought your family along, brought your relatives along, brought your community along, help them see Jesus, help them to the light, help them to be some of those who in this last time can be those that rise out of their graves to everlasting life. That's the goal. That's what we want. But those that be wise and those that get on board with God and his program are going to have this reward of rejoicing, because they have helped turn many to righteousness, and it's going to be as the stars of the heaven and the firmament. And you go out on a beautiful clear night and you just look at God's creation and you start getting the picture of what God is saying. That's going to be your experience, part of your life. You're going to shine. You're going to have this rejoicing. It's going to be that feeling of rejoicing because of this. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 19 talks some more about this crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? He asks it in a question form. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You see here, Paul is again telling the church at Thessalonica, what is your hope? What is your joy? What is your crown of rejoicing? Right now, you have the opportunity to be in the presence of Christ. Dear friends, this morning, as we sit here and we worship and we're here, I believe that the presence of God is right here among us. We are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ now, and as we live our life and enter into his work and rejoice with him and work with him, we can be that at his coming as well. The church, the glory of the church, the rejoicing, the crown. It's for those who reach out and are soul winners. God wants soul winners. The third crown I'd like to look at, or the third reward, the Bible talks about a crown of life. A crown of life. Let's go to, first of all, let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Jesus here is simply saying, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus is simply saying here that life is going to get tough at times. There's going to be temptation. There's going to be trials. There's going to be trouble. And we don't know what our portion in life is going to be yet. That doesn't matter. What Jesus says matters is be faithful through it all. Be strong. Be in my side. I'll walk with you. The promises throughout Scripture are ours. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, this crown of life is given to those who successfully endure the temptations, the trials, who successfully, should I just say, endure life. Whatever life brings our way, we cope with it, we make the best of it, we rejoice in it, and we receive the blessing of God. We receive the crown of life. I'd like to read a few verses out of James, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, so that you can have the crown of life. Now, this goes against our old nature, doesn't it? We know it does. The trying of our faith. We know what it's like when patience is required in life. If you're like me, you like when things happen now, not tomorrow, not the next day. You'd like to have the answer to things now. But he says here, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. You see, our ways are not God's ways. Our timing is not God's timing. God knows better. God has a plan. In the fullness of time, God brought Jesus. When the right time was, is when God brought Jesus. And that's how God works the circumstances in all of our lives. At the right time, at the right moment. He puts us at the right place, in the right experience, for his honor and for his glory. Can we just open our lives in that way? And yes, he brings temptations, he brings trials, he brings struggles in life. But if we respond right, brethren and sisters, it's going to be to his honor and his glory. We sit here and we look at it at times and we wonder why. How can it be? How did I ever end up here? How did this all happen? Why? What am I doing here? God has the purpose. God has the plan. God knows why you're here. God knows the future. God knows what he's doing with your life, even if you don't, even if I don't. That's hard for us to get a grip on sometimes, because sometimes we just chafe so bad under the idea that I really don't want to be here. This isn't where I want it to be. But God has promised that if we allow our lives into his plan and work, that there's going to be a crown of life. Number four, the Bible talks about a crown of righteousness. Let's go to, several scriptures. Let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Second Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 8. I should have maybe read this verse first. Yes, I should have. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Talks about this crown of righteousness. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. I take from that verse that this crown of righteousness is given to those, I'm going to say it like this, who especially love the doctrine of the rapture, who are looking forward to the time when Christ comes to receive his church, his bride, his chosen people. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. The day when he comes to receive his bride, take his church out of this world. The day when we say the rapture happens. And it's not to me only, but it's a crown to everyone that is looking forward to that day, that are looking forward to his appearing. And in the first chapter, verse 12 that I read, Paul was simply saying that I'm convinced that what I have done now in life for the cause of Christ, he's going to remember it that day. There's going to be this crown of righteousness. Your righteous works shall not be forgotten, is what he's saying. Dear ones, this morning when we get on the bandwagon with God and we enjoy being in God's work, when we take a hold of the responsibilities that are ours, whether it's being a father in the home and raising a family, whether it's a mother in the home, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, the school teacher, you put in whatever your responsibilities are. Be faithful. Take up the responsibilities. There's a crown of righteousness awaiting when you respond in the right way and you get take a hold of the responsibilities that are yours. Ministry this morning, take courage. There's a crown of righteousness that is waiting for you. And that takes me to the fifth crown that I'd like to look at this morning, and that's simply the crown of glory. The Bible calls it, it's a crown of glory. And it's given to all those who are faithful, like I just finished saying, those that are faithful in their responsibilities. Let's go to, there's a number of verses I want you to notice. 1 Peter chapter 5. First of all, this is directed right to the ministry, to those that have responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a crown here for those who are faithful in their responsibility, and Peter's specifically talking to the leadership here. Take up the responsibility. Willingly, be yoked with God in the work, he says, of a ready mind. Sometimes that's hard for us to do, isn't it? Sometimes we say, must we? But it's a blessing and it's a joy. And I'd like to say this morning to you as laity and whatever responsibilities you have, make the application for yourself in those things as well. Again, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1 and 2, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. So the responsibility is given, and I wish we would not look at it as the responsibility so much, but as a privilege. And I need to remind myself of that many, many times. But whatever your responsibilities are this morning, you think about them and you say, oh, must I again? Or must we make, like was brought out in the Sunday school lesson, must we make choices again? It's a privilege. Thank God this morning that we can. We could go to Acts as well and look at the early church and some of the things that took place there. I don't think I'm going to do that. In conclusion this morning, we have these rewards that are a part of being the rewards of when we yoke ourselves with Christ and his work. I'd like to leave a thought with you to think about. Could it be this morning that these crowns will actually be talents and abilities with which we will be able to serve God with in the future, or to glorify God with? I think they are. I believe that these crowns will be given to those who were involved in glorifying God on earth and being involved in his work here. And I believe that can carry right on into heaven, that someday the gifts that you have, the privileges that you had on earth, the things that you took and used to strengthen the church and strengthen the work of Christ in this earthly journey of yours this morning, or may be the very things that you will take along to glory and use to praise God and glorify Christ in the future. And thus, I'd like to leave this thought with you. The more you get involved here, the greater the reward will be there. I believe that's how it'll be. I don't know. But there is one more reward this morning that I want you to notice, and that is in 2 John, verse 8. The second epistle of John, and verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. A full reward. Look to yourselves. In other words, take notice to your own work, your own attitudes, your own will, your own carnality, your own heart. Check it out. Look at it, your ways, so that you don't lose those things which ye have wrought. That word wrought simply means the things that you have toiled for, or the things that you have labored for, the things here in life that you have thrown your energies into. Look to yourselves that you don't lose those things which you have worked for as a heart, so that you can receive the full reward. God wants to give a full reward. Verse 9 says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I love that verse as well this morning, because it tells us that there's a right way that is going to bring this full reward, and there's also a way that is a transgression and that will not bring a full reward. So again this morning, I believe that every one of us has a choice to make. We can choose to serve God, be a part of his program, his work, somehow align our will and our nature with his, and we can have these rewards, we can have that full reward, or we can be those that chooses to follow our own way, our own lust, our own carnality, and we will forfeit the rewards that could have been ours. Let's be faithful, brethren and sisters. Let's serve where we can. Let's help each other, be the encouragement we can, enjoy church life together, and someday be able to enjoy the full rewards that God has for us. Let's kneel for prayer.